Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. Here in a little while, I've got a call-in coming from Rob Price, if everything works right. Rob Price is a UK investigator, listeners. He was a kind of a last-minute volunteer that said, hey, I'll be one of the first to call in tonight. We're going to cover a lot of different things in the paranormal, some very interesting things that came up with RTP and several other events that are going on, as well as some interesting conversations throughout the paranormal world this week. I apologize. I had to clear my throat there. So, let's just get the ball rolling a little bit. Here at Paranormal Truth and Reality, we're kind of adjusting a few things with real-time paranormal and several of the associated groups, as well as a new website that will be coming up here personally so that everybody knows in local news. Paranormal Truth and Reality is going to start going to what I like to call the next level of reality and entertainment. So what we're going to actually do is we're going to change this around just a slight bit. We're actually going to do some live presentations every Friday, if everything works out right, when we have investigators at locations through Saturday and Sunday. What we're going to start by doing is we're going to interview them before they go to their location so that we can get the conceptual nature of everything that works. In addition to that, what we're going to do is we're going to broadcast on Facebook, on Real Time Paranormal, the investigation with individual investigators. Now, we're doing this on live stream to start with because it's an easy route for people to jump in and take a look at everything. We're going to follow up with an after show. The after show is going to discuss with the investigators what they saw, and it's going to give them a chance to respond to everybody that's on Instant Messenger during the show itself, during the live investigation, and during the after show. So it's going to be very unique and a different concept that everybody actually is going to be working in conjunction with. So that's kind of a good thing for everybody to keep an eye out on, as well as numerous other things that are running I'm losing the voice that are running through individual situations. I got a question here. I apologize. I've got somebody on the messenger that says, hey, can we call in at any point in time? The answer is absolutely. You can call in at any point in time. The number is actually listed on RTP. It's listed on Paranormal Truth and Reality. And I'll pull that up for you here in a few minutes just to make sure as well while we're leaving the station up for everybody to work out Rob calling in. The live number is 1-888-429-5471. So feel free to call in anytime tonight. Marengo Schoolhouse is actually going to be a live investigation that I'm getting several investigators in on if everything works right. But I want to put a shout out to Kenny Z and the Ghost Hunters, which is a local investigation group here in Ohio. They'll be joining us throughout the school investigation so that they can live stream on their website as well as our website in order to kind of give you a full feel all across the state of Ohio and surrounding areas for how ghost hunting really works. During this period in time, we will be using certain basic equipment, but we'll also be streaming on devices such as cell phones and so forth. Now, I know what you're thinking right off the bat. Cell phones are not exactly the most logical thing to use in video investigations, and you're absolutely right. Generally speaking, we would use real cameras, we'd use some infrared, we'd actually use some other devices. However, most of those are a little tough to stream on Facebook right now, so we're going to stick with the telephones for basic investigation techniques and to teach people the reality of the paranormal. While you're doing this, keep an eye on the environment, keep an eye on the backgrounds, and keep an eye on the investigators. Every bit and piece is something that you should comment on. Point being here, each investigator does their style quite differently, and while we're on cell phones, that's going to actually make it even tougher. An audience can point out the irregularities, the misconceptions, and more, as well as point out point of views that most people may not think of. And that's the key here. Live presentations are put together for specific reasons. Most of the time, they're put together to advertise or talk about specific situations. Here at Paranormal Truth and Reality, our goal is to bring the audience, the investigators, the professors, the universities, and the locations together so that we can do this in an educational way. So on to other subjects. I had some very interesting discussions on Paranormal Truth and Reality and RTP, which are now linked this week. One of them was about ghosts and spirits. A lot of people like to define these things as two different things. So if you actually physically look up the definition, guys, you're going to find out that they sound exactly the same. You can do this on Wikipedia. You can look at it in your dictionary. You can look multiple different ways. But basically what it's going to state is that a spirit or ghost is an anomaly or situation believed to be an apparition. Generally, they either communicate or they do not. Now, cultural difference separates these two terms, but reality is those terms are both identical and the same. What do I mean by this? A ghost is a ghost. A spirit is a spirit. What it is an intelligent or unintelligent communication. I got another question here. So is there any real differences when you're talking about a ghost and a spirit? Is one intelligent or not? The answer is actually no. There is no difference. The difference is in the breakdowns. When you start getting into university settings, when you start getting to actual study and you start getting into actual paranormal existence, what you're going to find out is they have a list of hauntings. This is defined under a ghost or spirit. The first set of those things you're going to read is residual and non-residual. Now let's break this down a little bit. Residual and non-residual is just the start. Okay? Residual activity is like a recording. If I record a video, if I record an audio or so forth, I may get the noises, the echoes. I can play it back over and over and over again. Residual is, supposedly speaking, ghost activity that plays over and over and over again. It's non-interactive, but you can see the events. They don't respond to you, or you can hear the events, and they repeat. Intelligent communication takes this a step above. Intelligent communication is defined as communication with something attempting to intelligently respond to you, carry on a conversation, tell you it's there, move an object, and so forth. But then it stops right there. In real paranormal study, just so that everybody's aware, it does not. There's a lot of misconception out in the field because we have to learn these things ourselves. A lot of times when universities break it down, they'll break it down in definition, but they don't hand it out to the public when they do these things. So you have investigators kind of running off going, I'm going to go off the basics that I heard from here, there, and here. So let's break them down a little bit. According to Harvard University, Ohio State University, and several other universities, what is residual activity? Residual activity is believed to be a recorded response that repeats over and over and over again. Residual activity can take on many, many forms, including visible form, non-visible form, opening of doors, closing of doors, turning on water faucets, an activity that is not normally done but repeated at the same time or event each individual movement. That means if every Wednesday you see a door open up, something goes into your kitchen, the faucet turns on, the faucet turns off, it's still residual activity. Or you could just simply see the recording. Meaning, I hear people in a ballroom every Saturday night at 3 a.m. I hear the music, I hear them playing, I hear the conversations, but I don't see anything. But it happens every Saturday night at 3 a.m. Intelligent activity, as broken down by Ohio State University, Harvard University, and several other universities when they looked into the study. Excuse me, I have a bit of a cough. Intelligent activity is a non-seen apparition or situation that attempts communication logically with response, carrying on conversation or otherwise, to prove existence. So it's almost as if I'm talking to you, or if I'm picking up a cup and handing it to you, and so forth. Now, how do we break this down further? Well, you have intelligent non-interactive communication, which actually, believe it or not, is there. What is non-intelligent communication? That's a very good question. Non-intelligent interactive communication, so that you know, is when you're actually seeing something that is physically moving something and moving around, perhaps in a repetitive motion, following you around or going to other locations, going from one room to the next and not staying in one particular area. What does that mean? Well, if I'm in one room and objects begin to move, and I go to another room and objects begin to move, and I go to another room and objects begin to move, this is intelligent. Something understands it's moving those objects, but it may not interact with me. It may not attack me. It may not try to communicate with me. It may not try to do anything. You also have interactive intelligent communication. Interactive intelligent communication in university settings means that this thing does try to communicate. It can carry on conversations. It can touch you. It can push you. It can move. Often, residual activity is different. Here's what happens with residual activity, so that you're aware. Residual activity is a repetitive motion in one area. Now, I had a question come up recently. Well, some ghosts can move around and we see them move around, but they don't interact, and it's almost as if they're null and void. Congratulations, you just caught residual activity. They're moving in the same repetitive motion over and over and over again. So that's a little bit more about exactly what's going on. So that kind of breaks it down a little bit. Now, how does this work? What is plausibly what we're looking at when we're looking at a ghost or spirit, residual, non-residual activity, and so forth? I ran into that question. Here's the answer. There's no intelligent answer to it, but there are some theories that have been proven mathematically to work. I have a quantum physics professor that just did a pre-record with me. I'm not going to give his name out yet because he hasn't given me permission, but we're going to play this in the next couple of months. It's a very complicated thing to explain, but he has a theory put together on what the possibility of ghosts in different levels are. Now, the way he explains this, which makes perfect sense, is if you take the basic physics in motion and you move these physics together, let's say quantum physics. The theory on the table right now in quantum physics is that dimensions work at the exact same level, the exact same time, and the exact same speed we are. They're just at different variables. So the time, past, present, and future, other dimensions, other situations, all of these things that are believed to happen, happen, and they exist all at once. They're just simply not in the same stream, which means that we can't physically see them 99% of the time. Now, in his theory, these streams do interact from time to time, causing a quantum effect. Quantum effect basically in simple terms means a simple effect, non-explainable, but can be explainable by mathematics, where two dimensions pull together at one brief period in time. Now, if you have a quantum effect happen, the smaller the residual effect, the smaller the situation. So if for some reason something drastic enough happened in two different dimensional poles, theoretically speaking, these two could connect together. Now, I know that's a little bit above the average person that's listening to me tonight, but think of it this way. We have one stream beside another stream, and then those ripples kind of connect from one point or another. Just like if you take water and you make a puddle to the left and you make a puddle to the right, the puddles eventually interfere with each other. So let's say the streams do the same thing, although the theories are a little bit different. Let's say those streams interact for brief moments. Well, theoretically, you could be looking at someone's past. You could be looking at the future. You could be looking at someone else. And you could even be looking at yourself and not even know it. Since these things are so brief and they come in different measures by mathematical theory, a measure can be as brief as a shadow or shadows for one particular second in time to an echo, apparition, and more. So theoretically speaking and logically speaking, when somebody says you can't prove a ghost, well, he just did. the math adds up. As one simple example of what a ghost might be. My point being, as I told everybody on RTP and I told everybody out there, we constantly go back to the myth of what a ghost is. We constantly go back to what we were taught as kids, what we were brought up as children, what our children will be brought up as, and what our mothers and fathers were brought up as. But what if that's wrong? Now, I know what people are thinking. Well, I still want to believe that I saw my mother. I still want to believe that I spoke to my loved one. I still want to believe that there's something there. And the answer is there is. There is something there. And you very well could have. When you're dealing with quantum theory, all of those things are possible. All this does is explain the situation. A drastic moment in time can still allow that person to come around for a brief second or two, whether it be before, after, during, or even in another area. How does all of this connect? Well, some people say energy, but then they break it out into several other things. They break it out, as an example, into electromagnetism. Electromagnetism is a wondrous thing, but if you start breaking down into the real theory of electromagnetism and how it works, EMF fields and so forth, here's the reality of the situation. Guys, it's not quite like that. Those fields have specific situations that cause reaction, not draw off of something else to cause that reaction. I know that's complicated to think about, but if you do your math and you actually look into it, you'll find out what I'm saying. However, does that mean that we don't have other energies out there? The answer is no, it doesn't mean that. For instance, 15 to 20 years ago, we believed that dark matter was a theory that did not exist. Added up in the math, but impossible to find. 9 years ago, a university in Michigan broke that quantum barrier and the levels of dimensions as we see it, and actually proved that dark matter does exist. It's hard to collect, comes in small amounts, and it's very volatile, but it is there. Before then, that was a theory. So let's take this to an advancement a little bit and go a little bit above that. Let's take a look a little deeper. If dark matter was believed to exist as a theory, but then told impossible to be there, yet we found it, what other things are impossible? Energy is a miraculous thing. What we do know is when we find things, we either find out that it's dangerous to us and we figure out how to harness that or remove that factor, or we find out it's not dangerous and we utilize it, like we're doing tonight, for an example, over digital radio. This all came from energy broadcast signals and so forth that we stumbled upon and realized could work. This is the same aspect when you're dealing with any type of ghost, entity, or otherwise. When you're talking about energy, it's not electromagnetism. It's not as easy as it manipulates everything around and draws off of that energy. But perhaps maybe it's something we haven't calculated quite yet. Science is a wonderful thing. Excuse me, I apologize. Science is a very wonderful thing. And while using science, a lot of people tend to back up and say, well, science and the paranormal doesn't work. Well, I just gave you one example earlier that science and the paranormal does work. People just don't take the time to look at it. If it's one thing that you can do from this show, if nobody calls in and everybody's listening, I want you to take one thought in the back of your mind. And that is, do I know all of it yet? The answer is no. The next step is asking this question. How many people have actually looked into this, and how does it apply? The answer is look. The reality of the paranormal is it started in research over 75 to 100 years ago. It advanced over and over and over again to multiple different fields. Why? Because the paranormal is simply defined as the unknown definable by science currently. That means that every single scientist in America has looked at something paranormal or supernatural before. That also means that you can find a lot of that research to build, create, and design from that point. I got a question here. Looks like the messenger's running. It says, if you believe that science works together in conjunction with the paranormal, then why is it that science has not proven that ghosts exist or haven't existed? The answer is they actually have from time to time in sectional portions, just so that you know. Here's what happens. You end up with the concurrence on both sides. Both sides will come up with logical solutions. For instance, quite recently, several scientists said, I can prove that ghosts don't exist because quantum theory says that these things are here, so theoretically we should have been able to pick it up. However, you take it to the next quantum scientist, and he says the reason we haven't picked it up is because the math equals out, but we're not looking in the right place. So scientists look at both sides of the coin, and sectional scientists will debate forever whether a ghost exists, whether God exists, whether the devil exists, and so forth, where theologians and the other part of science will say, hey, yes, they do. This is all a part of the process, but the proof is still there. What you need is still there. The answers are still there. The thing is, guys, the paranormal is a personal journey. Each and every one of us out there, every single person, every single individual went on this journey for a reason. Whether you lost a loved one, whether you had an occurrence you couldn't explain, whether you were scared to death, whether you were just curious, you chose to go on this journey. You chose to find these answers yourself. Now, rather than argue about not having proof and having proof and not this and not that, look at the real science involved and look at the real stories involved and look at the real definitions and look at the real logical paranormal study that's out there. Then make a determination on your own. Yes, the book doesn't have a field. We don't have a step-by-step manual. We don't have a, this is how it should go. A lot of times we watch television and we think, this is how it should go. And then you have the few people that love that, so they want to bring it out into reality. So they go into media and they want to make a star out of themselves, and this is how they believe it should go. Here's the truth. Each educational field does things specific ways. That's how it goes. That can add up to how you want it to flow. If you don't have the education in quantum physics, you're not going to be able to know everything, but you can still use those things to apply to your theory. If you don't have an education in photography, you can still take basic courses and you can use that to decipher what's right and wrong. But ultimately, it's your journey. If you want to believe at the end of looking at all this that you came up with proof yourself that makes you happy and confident that this is where it is, then that's the end of your journey. And there's nothing wrong with that. Argument is a unique thing. When you're looking over Facebook and you're looking over and over and over, what you'll find out is most of the time you have more disagreements than you have agreements. But if we can get past all of that, if we can stop arguing amongst ourselves on who has to be the alpha dog, on who did something better first, on why I'm right and you're wrong, and understand that it's all there and there's a lot of doors that we can go through, you'd be surprised how far in your journey you can get. It looks like Rob's having a little bit of problems coming in here. So we're going to try to work on getting him in before the end, but let me just get into a few advertisements before we go into the next steps of Paranormal Truth and Reality. And everybody's welcome to call in. We have the 800 number posted. If you want to call in tonight, that's beautiful. I'm going to update you on some of the guests that are going to come in. And if we miss Rob tonight, we'll just get him in on one of the next few slots. He's a wonderful guy from the UK. You're going to love the way he talks. You're going to love a lot of his personality. And you're actually going to get a kick out of some of the things he does because he's a unique investigator. Local news. Haunted Hoorah here in Ohio is going to be running until September, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're going to be on. Generally, Brent opens up the doors around 8, starts his tours around 9 or 10, $20. He's got a zombie effect coming out right now. It's going to be very, very interesting. Make sure that you do that. Make sure that you go and you take a look and so forth. It's a wonderful place. You'll have fun with it. Marengo's Schoolhouse is I'm losing my voice here. Marengo's Schoolhouse is going to be open this weekend for the flea market. I encourage everybody to come in and take a look at the flea market. We've got a lot of local individuals before October 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. We're going to be having a little paranormal powwow. We're going to have some local investigators come in. We're going to have some people pop by and say hi. There might even be a couple of famous faces that weekend. So I encourage you to come out because you never know who you might have seen on TV that pops in just for a moment to say hi. Plus, the local flea market has a lot of individuals in there, some great stuff. Make sure that you support your local community. There's fresh vegetables. There's excellent arts and crafts. And you never know, you might find a couple of good electronics there as well. Other local events that are coming on, losing my voice. Mercy. I apologize, audience. Other local situations that are coming on. Just so that everybody is aware, Brian Parsons and Colin is actually back on WCJV. Their technical difficulties up there in the digital broadcast radio station has disappeared. Make sure that you go take a look at them. Both wonderful people, very educated. And you are actually listening to BBS Radio. BBS Radio is one of the leading digital radio stations now for over 10 years. If you're looking to be on a digital radio station, I would encourage you to come to BBS Radio. They have a lot of open slots and two stations throughout the California area that broadcast nationwide. So make sure that you actually look at BBS Radio, contact Donald directly, and he'll be able to set you up with a perfect show. They do everything. I apologize. My voice is going kind of crazy here, guys, but this has been the first broadcast for a long time. Let's talk about some things that we're going to be seeing here in the future. I have a pre-record with Carl Bland. Carl Bland is a researcher, and he's been researching for about 23 years. He has some unique views, both bold and not so bold, but some very interesting stuff. He spends quite a lot of time at it. We're going to have him on a pre-record next week. I have a couple of other very interesting people coming in. I'm not going to mention the name yet, but I have a fairly famous demonologist, just so you guys are aware, that's going to be in here during the end of October or early November. So make sure you stay tuned to BBS because this gentleman does not just choose anybody to be on the show. We have a quantum physicist, again, fairly well-known name, by the way. He's going to be popping in mid-November on a pre-record. Make sure that you listen to the advertisements ahead of time. Again, this gentleman doesn't talk to everybody, so make sure that you listen to the show because he's a very brilliant man. In addition, we have a few other people on request from overseas that are going to be joining us. Out of those names, just so that you're aware, one of them is going to be George Stumey. George Stumey actually has a team that is overseas. They're going to be joining me on a pre-record so that we can play it back for you to give you their unique views that we don't often see here in the United States or other countries. Tune in as we do that. Because I want everybody to understand the paranormal is not unique to the United States, the UK, or anywhere else. Everybody across the world actually has different views on this, and all the views should be taken into consideration, obviously. In addition to that, we're going to be telling a few more stories. In fact, I have a story tonight that I'm going to go over with you before the end. So I encourage everybody, continue writing your stories. Send me the emails at paranormaltruthandreality@yahoo.com, paranormaltruthandreality@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook if you choose to send the story there, or if you want to post it on Real Time Paranormal, I have a wonderful bunch of admin there. Make sure that you do that. Mercy, I apologize. So, what else do we have in store for Paranormal Truth and Reality? Our website has not been updated until recently. In early November, we're actually going to have an update on Paranormal Truth and Reality. You have live streams from video locations that you can log into for free and keep track. There's also going to be automated cameras at some locations if everything works right so that you can just pop in, take a look from time to time in a few semi-known haunted locations. We're also going to have regular broadcasts on BBS Radio that are going to be dubbed over on Paranormal Truth and Reality so that you can listen to them there. I have a live messenger we've been testing for the past month and a half. It's going to be accessible to everybody from Paranormal Truth and Reality. We're going to have some guest appearances from other people that will be coming in. That's very amazing, so I encourage you to do that. And we're going to get into a little bit more multimedia. So I want everybody to pay real close attention to what's going on. See, the thing is, Paranormal Truth and Reality, I want to be said a very specific way, which is unique. I don't want people to just think it's another guy trying to do a podcast or a digital radio show, because it's not. As you've noticed from the guests, we have some very famous personalities. We got some very famous locations, and that's going to continue to happen. In addition, I want everybody to understand that this show is based off of the reality and truth of the paranormal. So we're going to get into a few more in-depth conversations so that we can break down how people look at the paranormal nationwide, how universities look at the paranormal. And I want people to interact during this period in time. Since we know the messenger works, we also want to concentrate on live call-ins. Now, I know I have a very small base of people that listen on a regular basis. We have people jump in and jump out, and that's great. Advertising is actually going to kick in. We're going to have more people. But I want you guys to call in. I want you guys to interact on the messenger. I want you guys to speak. Send me your stories. Send me your reality and be able to utilize that. This is all a part of Paranormal Truth and Reality. This is going to make us stand above most people. Reason behind this is we can all watch a TV show. We can all watch a podcast. And there are some wonderful podcasts out there. In fact, I'm going to punt a couple of them here before the end of the show so that people know where to find them. We can all jump on a Facebook page. We can all jump on a website. And this is all great. But why can't we all interact that together? Work together and do something that's unique. And that's Paranormal Truth and Reality. Speaking of the podcast, so that we're available on the podcast, Paranormal Journeys with Paula Purcell, I almost lost my voice there, Gavin Kelly, actually do a show. I do believe it's every Wednesday, so make sure if you are fans of Paranormal Journeys, if you are not, take a look at them. Wonderful podcast. They have a lot of unique equipment, a lot of unique guests on there. A unique Facebook podcast that I'm going to do a shout out for, Laura Lee Blonde actually does one. Look her up on Facebook, follow her podcast. Wonderful lady, by the way. She has some very unique guests. Some of them are very, very popular. So I do encourage you to take a look at that and listen. I have a friend of mine, Judy, that actually does a podcast, Into the Darkness, which is actually kind of a basic situation. She's going to be redoing her show. She's currently doing some blogs and so forth. Give her a listen. She's a great gal. Granted, there's been some problems on Facebook in the past, and that has actually subsided, just so that everybody, all the listeners are listening to it, just so that that's subsided. Judy's a wonderful person. She has some great guests. She's a wonderful person to talk to. We're going to have her on the show eventually here. But in other podcasts, there's a lot of them, actually. Brian Parsons does a podcast every week on WCJV. We're actually a digital broadcast every week on WCJV. Shout out to Brian. Listen to him. Colin is another one. He does a wonderful digital broadcast, actually, not a podcast himself. Digital broadcast on WCJV. I want you to take a look at him. Colin's a wonderful person. Cat Hobson actually jumped over from WCJV to another radio station. But she is continuing her digital radio broadcast. She actually just did her guest – well, not a guest appearance, but her first appearance this week. I'm going to give you the information as we go. But if you are a fan of Kat, great, make sure that you go to her homepage and listen to her. She's a wonderful lady, by the way, guys. I can't talk enough about her. I apologize. I'm losing my voice just a slight bit here as I'm operating this and trying to do several different things. But since we had some technical difficulties with Rob, I'm actually going to do a pre-recorder. I'm going to have Rob on here in the next couple of weeks. I apologize, listeners. I wanted to have a live with him, but it turned out that we had some issues with the Skype messenger to bring him in. And unfortunately, being in the UK, he can't access the 800 number because it's going to cost him money. So we don't want that to happen. We'll do a record with Rob probably live if we can get him to do it here in the next couple of weeks. And you're going to absolutely love that. But See, we're at 8:35, so I'm just going to get into the story so that everybody knows. I got a story from a gentleman. His name was, and he's a wonderful boy, by the way, as he was 6 years old, wanted to write into Paranormal Truth and Reality. He's been listening to the show. His name is Robert Thompson. By the way, Robert, I certainly appreciate you doing this. You're a wonderful boy. He wanted to share a story with everybody because he thinks it's very interesting. I'm just going to read the story for you. This is going to be the easiest route. When I was 6 years old, I lost my grandmother. She was a wonderful person. Granny always rocked me to sleep every single night and told me everything was going to be okay. You see, I lived a rough life because my mother from time to time wasn't the best, even though she did clear herself up. My father was on the road all the time because he was a salesperson, so I saw very little of him until I got a little bit older. So my grandmother was all I had. Each night she would read me the story of Robin Hood, King Arthur, and several other things because she thought it would be very, very important for me to understand early culture and some things that weren't regularly on television and cartoons. When I was six years old, my grandmother passed. It was one of the hardest things I ever had to deal with as a child. I remember standing there not understanding exactly what was going on as my mother told me, "Grandma's no longer with us." Well, I understood that, but where did she go? Nobody would answer my question. Nobody would tell me. I cried that night, and I cried myself to sleep for 3 or 4 days. One night I woke up and I said, "Grandma, where did you go? I don't understand." That night when I went to sleep, I had a miraculous dream. A marvelous dream is how he explains it. When I was sleeping, my grandmother came up. She said, "Honey, it's time to read a story." Only this story was a little bit different. This story was about my grandmother. She said, "When I was young, I had problems myself. My father wasn't around because he was in the military. And my mother did the best that she could, but she had to support us often because he was overseas. During school in that period in time, you had to keep quiet. Voicing your opinion as a young girl was just not acceptable. So I often rocked myself to sleep reading old books and situations. When I got older, I realized with my children that I could do the same, so I passed that down. Unfortunately, children go from time to time in different ways. Just like puppies, they eventually separate from their mothers and they do what they want. Just like kittens, they eventually decide to walk their own path. But I, in turn, wanted to pass that on to another generation. So I spoke to you, and I gave you my stories that I loved as a child. Now that I am gone, I want you to understand that those stories still continue, just like the memory of me. I pass on from generation to generation, and I will always be with those that I love. When you wake up, you will know this. Now, it's important for everybody to understand that, and I'm sorry I'm pausing on this because this is actually quite a touching story. It's important for everybody to understand that my grandmother loved one thing, her flowers. She would grow them every year, but she would grow very specific ones. And those were marigolds. Now, ironically, my mom hated marigolds because she grew up with them her whole life. I woke up at 6 a.m. after asking that question, and there was one single marigold sitting on my stand. Now, though most people wouldn't understand, as I explained it to my mom the next day, she said it was probably a flower and threw it away. And my dad kind of laughed and said, "Well, son, it's good that you found peace. Grandmother's in a better place. I know what it really was. My grandma took the time to tell me that everything was going to be okay." That's a very wonderful story. which is why I wanted to share it with everybody tonight. Very touching, and I think that Paranormal Truth and Reality has to share these things from time to time. So hopefully a few people listened to that. Hopefully it had a few tears, and I certainly appreciated little Rob actually sending that story in to me. We don't get those that often. So, excuse me. Mercy. So I want to make sure that everything happens. In the last few minutes, I want to talk about something very unique, as a matter of fact. There's a lot of different things that are popping on television right now as we twist into non-reality. And one of the things that we're seeing right now are several shows that revolve around genetics. And this is a comic book. This is the comic book thing in me. So everybody can laugh about this. Most people that know me will laugh about this. Genetics and the X-Men. Okay. So we've seen three or four different situations with the X-Men and so forth. I had a conversation earlier today on a PM where people were asking about mediums and empaths and whether they actually speak to ghosts or not and so forth. So here's my opinion on things. First off, why is it that people can communicate with ghosts if mediums are the ones that generally do it? Now, that was a question that was asked to me, and I can answer that very easily for you. Ghosts choose who they can speak to, just so everybody's aware. I have no medium abilities whatsoever, never claimed to. And to be frankly honest with you, from the way people talk about it, probably wouldn't want to because you go through a lot of struggles. And all the mediums that are listening, I certainly appreciate the fact that you share these things with me. It's got to be tough because you have a growing experience. You don't know how to do things and so forth. But ghosts choose to speak to whoever they want to. I'm not a medium, but I have spoken to ghosts. One was in Delaware, Ohio. I don't know if I've told everybody that story or not, and I'll be real brief about it, but we moved into an apartment in Delaware, Ohio. I won't give the address because it has been handed down to another family member. During that period in time, we had some very unusual occurrences. One of the things that we heard repetitively, or rather I heard mostly, my family heard from time to time, was a girl crying. And this would happen at least two times a week. And at one point, when the family stopped hearing it, I still heard it. I woke up one night and I looked at Andrea and I said, "Do you hear that?" She said, "No." I walked outside because I continued to hear it. And I saw a girl kneeled over in a corner. Looks like we might have a call in here. Let's see if we can get him on. All right. Rob, are you with me? Can't complain. Hopefully everybody can hear you here. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to Rob Price in the last part of the show. Yeah, we had a few technical difficulties, but you got in here. That's the main thing. So hopefully everybody can hear you here. Basically, Rob is an investigator in the UK, and we'll actually do a full piece on Rob here in a little while since I know that we've only got about 15 minutes left of the show. But Rob is an investigator in the UK. Rob has done a lot of individual investigations, one quite unique, actually, that we'll talk about here in the next few minutes. And I'll get into my story later, everybody. You can feel free to ask that at any point in time. But Rob, I'm actually excited that you kind of popped in. I know you may or may not have been listening to the show, but let's talk about your experience with your doll. That's a unique piece of information that doesn't regularly go on within the paranormal. And a lot of times we spend hours, if not weeks or days or months, trying to get one little piece of information. So listeners, just to kind of recap, Rob actually spent a little bit of time at a location after doing his investigations for a little over, 5 to 7 years, if not a little longer. And now he's finally got a little bit of a piece of proof, so to speak, that something can react in a haunted item. Paranormal Truth and Reality has actually been working on that. We put up a offer to people to loan us items. If anybody's listening and has a paranormal item, you actually do get paid for the time that we have it so that we can do a full observation on it. But that's kind of an actual interesting thing to run into there, Rob. It's interesting. So just in case the audio is not running a little bit, so the listeners can hear here, Rob has just called into the line. He's talking a little bit about a haunted doll. He actually got several responses from this doll on a regular basis and got video on it. It's one of the very first situations that he's ever ran into where a situation has happened like this. And we're actually going to bring Robert in on another live so that he can discuss this in a little bit more detail, so that way we can have a situation, because he's kind of called in through a secondary line to hopefully come in live on the show. If not, then he'll be on the pre-recording, because I'm sure we're probably recording fairly well. So just in case that we're having a little bit of an audio issue or people can't hear you very well, I'm just kind of recapping them a little bit there. I was discussing a little earlier with everybody kind of the reality of how ghosts and so forth work, and how it's quite unique. Yeah. Yeah, well, and that's the thing. When you're dealing with ghosts and spirits, everybody, the thing that you should take away from Paranormal Truth and Reality is the definition is, believe it or not, the same. The difference is within cultural situations. One culture calls it a spirit. One culture calls it a ghost. But when you're talking about intelligent activity and non-intelligent activity, there's no difference. That's all broken down into the other situations. I actually broke down some of those definitions for them earlier, though most people don't realize that because they don't spend time in universities when they break these things down in with the in-depth situations. It's kind of like EVP. When you're dealing with EVP, it goes a little bit more in-depth than just using a recorder. You know, you have to know the frequencies. You have to know all of the situations, listeners. And when you go on top of that, people always question the classifications. Where do classifications come from? How are they there? Why is it a class A, B, C, and D? And the reality is that was brought together by another scientist that decided to classify when he was working in EVP research. And we'll have some links on all of that on RTP and so forth so that people can do research if you want to actually look into that. But classifications are just an easy way for audible sound. Whether you use class A, B, C, or D or not is kind of, to be frankly honest with you, irrelevant, although we like to do it. It's more this factor. When you're listening to the audio, is this a noise that can be explained? Is this a level of audio that can be explained? Is this something that's external that can be explained? Do I have channels that are mixed up when I'm recording things? Am I getting an echo when I shouldn't be getting? All those things are really what you're looking at. A, B, C, and D is just something simple. Yeah, that's a very good point. Just in case listeners, again, just in case Rob's not coming in quite clear, he may or may not be. What he's basically stating so that everybody understands is a lot of times when you've got a recorder, simple issues ends up being the problem. Brushing your finger across the recorder. It's kind of like brushing your finger across a mic. Air blowing across the recorder or the mic at the wrong time is another example of that. Breathing into the mic. If you're using an external handheld digital recorder, believe it or not, even though you're holding it and you may not have clothing close, the moment you move your arm, if you have a jacket on, it's going to pick up that sound. Or if you move the wrong way, it's going to pick up what's behind you, and it's going to pick up that sound very, very logically. So always keep that in mind. Next week's show is going to be a pre-record with Carl Bland, so that everybody knows. Carl Bland is a researcher of over 20 years. He has some very unique opinions, so we wanted to get him on the show so that people can react to those opinions. In the following weeks, as we had discussed, we have several other investigators. I am going to bring Rob Price back in. We're going to get the technical issue worked out, have him come in live, and we'll have a discussion with him. Rob, you're actually welcome to come in while we're on a discussion with another person as well. If you want to kind of co-host the show for the night, I have no problem with that. And kind of join in with us a little bit. You've been listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I know that Rob came in a little bit late, so we're going to bring him in here in another couple of calls. BBS radio station. We've been covering a lot of different things tonight, so everybody, by all means, after the show, make sure you jump in, make sure you ask questions on RTP, instant message me. I'll be glad to send you plenty of links. I'm going to end the show, as I always do, with one logical situation that everybody should understand, and this is my key statement we all know. In the paranormal, as you learn tonight, make sure you do your research. Make sure you put two and two together. Understand you're going to be wrong from time to time. Don't get too cocky at it while you're doing it. And realize that truth should always be the reality around you. And as you learn from the story, understand in the end, even when you do all of that, to each and every one of us, the paranormal is truly a personal journey. And during that journey, you may discover a few things that other people simply can't prove. But does that really matter when you get your answers? No, it doesn't. It's been a great show. We're going to let you off of here. I know that we're at our last couple of minutes here. Everybody say thanks to Rob for coming in. Rob, I certainly appreciate you calling in the last few minutes of the show, and we'll talk to you next week.